You are loved. You are loved by the very hands that painted the stars and set the planets into motion. You are not a coincidence. He chose you to exist in this very moment. You are not a drop of water in the ocean. You are seen, and you are loved. You were handpicked by the King of Kings. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He is your father, and you are his child. He delights at the opportunity of talking with you. No height or depth can separate you from the love of God. His love is endless, like the depths of the seas. It's a love that stands firm when you are at your lowest. His love is full of grace and compassion. You are loved without conditions. You are deeply cherished and loved by the one who created you. Take in the peace, knowing that you are a loved child of the King. Let that love guide you, empower you, and fill your heart with joy. His love has no beginning and no end. The love of God will always be. You are and have always been dearly loved.
So this is our final series at Worship Uncoiled for the school year. It's going to be a real short two-week series. Worship Uncoiled is coming to a close. It's kind of crazy. We've got this week, and we've got next week, and then we take the week off for Mother's Day, and then we've got the week after Mother's Day, which is going to be our big Worship Uncoiled finale. So we're looking at the home stretch here at Worship Uncoiled, and every time I come into this last series at Worship Uncoiled, when we go into the home stretch, I think to myself, okay, there's going to be students that are stepping into the summer, which we'll still get together over the summer. We'll do Sunday night summer events and do all kinds of fun stuff, but it'll just be a different format than what we do here on Sunday nights. And so I think there's going to be students stepping into the summer where they have all kinds of opportunity and options and stepping into new phases of life. There's going to be students that are stepping out of school and onto a completely new phase of life and looking forward to college in the future. And I think, okay, what is it that is they move from here? And we're not going to get together in this format for a little while. What are some things that I really, really, really want them to walk out of this place remembering? What are some things that I really want them to walk out of this place knowing and kind of just have rolling around in the back of their minds all summer long or as they move on to the next phase of life? And so I've got two things. The first one is this. You are loved. You are really, really, truly loved. It's not something that we really understand a whole lot in our culture and in this world, because in this world, love is so often conditional. We experience conditional love all the time. Let me give you some examples. I think I've told you guys this more than once, but when I was a kid, back in the 1990s, I was a huge Pacer fan. And in the mid to late 1990s, the Indiana Pacers were consistently in the playoffs, and they were always doing really, really well in the playoffs. But it seemed like in the playoff games, the Indiana Pacers would always, like, it would always come down to the wire. It was always like a last second shot, or, it was always one of those things where it was a nail biter every single game. And so this is where my conditional love came in with one player in particular. That player was Rick Smits. Now, you ask me now how I feel about Rick Smits. He's an amazing basketball player. But back in the 1990s, when I was a kid, Rick Smits was like this dominant center in the NBA. He could play with the best of them. He made clutch shots. He was a great defender. There were moments in the games where he would make the game-winning shot. He was trusted to take that shot. And when Rick Smits played like that, I was a huge Rick Smits fan. I thought he was awesome and incredible, and I was super pumped that he was on our team. But then there were other times where Rick Smits seemed to struggle just a little bit. There were moments where the game would come down to the wire, and Rick Smits had a tendency to maybe foul out a little bit early. or he would do a foul at a really inopportune time, or he would miss a few clutch shots, or he would miss a few free throws. And it seemed like there was a stretch of games where that happened a few times in a row, and I was calling for Rick Smits to be traded. I was like, this guy is garbage. We need to get rid of him. He can't play. My love for him was conditional. Maybe you've experienced something like that on some of your favorite teams. But I can almost guarantee almost everybody in this room, maybe not quite everybody in this room, have experienced conditional love when it comes to this. Remember that first time you got your cell phone and you were like, this is awesome. This is so cool. It has so much power. I can do anything on this. I can text my friends. I can connect with people. This is what I've been waiting on. And then if you had that experience where like your cell phone starts to run out of storage, and not because you have too much stuff on your cell phone, but because the operating system and the random stuff on your cell phone starts to take up all your storage. And then it starts to affect the ability to receive and take calls, and it starts dropping calls. Maybe you've had a cell phone where it's dropped and like your screen starts to get cracked. I remember, so I was going through this cabinet that I have in our room, and I saw this old cell phone that I had. It was one of my very first iPhones. And it has like duct tape around the corners and the screen is all cracked. And I remember when I got that cell phone, I was pumped. I was so excited to have that cell phone. It was like, this is awesome. By the time I was done with that cell phone, I remember saying, when I'm done with this, I'm going to throw it against a wall as hard as I can. Anybody been like that with your phones? Like, love can be so conditional. We love stuff until it's not useful to us anymore, and then our love changes. And we live in a society where that happens to the things that we love, the teams that we love, but unfortunately, and hopefully you've not experienced this, but that can be something that happens to us as well. And it can be really, really easy to internalize this belief that that's just the way love is. That love is just conditional. It's just something we're going to experience. And the truth is, that is not the way that you were ever intended to be loved. Love was never supposed to be conditional. And God loves you with a love that is completely unconditional. Now, before we go any further, let me be really, really, really clear, because it's easy to get a little bit confused and the waters can get a little bit muddied at this moment. Because love that is conditional is not the same as love with boundaries. Let me say that again. Love that is conditional is not the same as love with boundaries. Unconditional love is the love that sees our faults, sets some boundaries and some limits, and loves us in the midst of becoming better people. It's really easy when we start to talk about being loved in an unconditional way to begin to think, yeah, people should just love me the way I am. Like, this is who I am. But the unconditional love that we're talking about is a love with firm boundaries. You guys have heard me preach on this earlier in this school year. I'm a firm believer in boundaries. True unconditional love. True unconditional love loves us in the process of becoming better people. And boundaries are a part of that. So please don't hear me saying that love, being loved unconditionally means just go do whatever you want and people should love you. Because boundaries are an important part of all of our relationships. I want to say this one more time. Unconditional love is a love that sees our faults, knows us for who we are, knows us at our worst, sets some boundaries to help us improve, and loves us in the midst of us becoming better people. That is true unconditional love. And really, guys, Isn't this the love that we crave deep down in our souls? Like, we want someone that truly knows us, that sees us, that we don't have to be that person that is perfect all the time, but they know us and they help us become better people. They help us walk this journey of life, and they love us in the midst of us becoming better people. This is the kind of love that we crave in our souls. And we crave this because this is the love that we deserve. And this is the love that God truly pours out on us. The truth is, our soul craves to really be loved like this because this is the love that God offers you. This unconditional, incredible love is the love that God pours out on each of you on a daily basis. In the book of Ephesians, Paul takes a moment to stop in the midst of his letter to this church in Ephesus and say a prayer for them. And it's this beautiful thing that Paul does, this beautiful moment where he's writing along and he just comes to this moment and he's like, all right, I'm going to stop and I'm going to pray for you guys. I'm going to pray that you would feel this incredible love of God. And if Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, it says this. This is why I kneel before the Father. So Paul is saying, listen, guys, this is me coming to God. This is what I pray for you on a regular basis. This is why I kneel before the Father. Every ethnic group in heaven or on earth is recognized by him. Now, I want to stop there. Because this right here, if we don't understand this, then it's easy to misunderstand everything that comes after this. We have to understand what Paul is saying right here. And this is really, really important. Paul says something here. He says, every ethnic group in heaven or on earth is recognized by God. Now, to us, as we translate that into English, that's pretty basic stuff, like God recognizes everybody. But when you look at the original Greek, and I won't go into all of the crazy, you know, Greek words and all that good stuff, but Paul does a play on words here. And Paul's play on words is communicating something that is really, really important. Paul is trying to use language in the original Greek that says God and God's love is far more expansive and far more inclusive of people than you ever thought or imagined. Everything that comes after this is saying, Paul is saying, sorry, listen, God's love is inclusive. It's expansive. Paul even goes as far as to say every ethnic group in heaven or on earth. Like, Paul is using language here that is beyond this earth so that we would understand that what he is about to say applies to everybody. It's this huge group. It's totally inclusive of everybody. And in a lot of ways, the first century culture that Paul was writing in was a lot like ours. There was mistreatment of people on the basis of race, on the basis of gender, on the basis of social status. And Paul is saying in the first sentence of this prayer that what is coming next, what is about to be said, applies to every race, applies to every gender, applies to every social status, applies to every single person on this earth. And he's using words to say, if beyond, this love of God is so incredibly inclusive. It applies to both men and women. It applies to every single race. It applies to high social status and low social status. It applies to people that we thought that this would never, ever apply to. And then he goes on in verses 16 through the beginning of 17. I ask that he will strengthen you in your inner selves from the riches of his glory through the Spirit. I ask that Christ will live in your hearts through faith. I think in our culture where we experience conditional love, we tend to fall in this notion where we assume that God's love is also conditional. And we're all guilty of this. I'm guilty of this. But we tend to look at people and say, yeah, they are so loved. And we look at other people and we say, ah. I mean, if we're honest in our hearts, we tend to look at people and say, I'm not so sure. And Paul is challenging this thought. Paul is challenging this notion. He's saying, guys, this unconditional love applies to all the people that are around us. When God's salvation comes, it applies to everybody. And what happens is when we start to get into this habit of looking at people and saying, I'm not so sure they're loved. It can be easy to begin to look at ourselves and say, well, man, look at what I've done. I'm not so sure I'm loved anymore. And God is standing up there saying, no. That's not the way it is. That's not the way it is. I love you. It doesn't matter if you are a man or a woman. It doesn't matter if you have high social status, low social status. Listen, it doesn't matter what you've done in your past. It doesn't matter what you do in your future. This is inclusive. I love you. This is expansive. This is huge, unconditional, pouring out love. You are so, so loved. And it's really, really important that we take what Paul says at the beginning and we understand, man, this is so expansive and inclusive. And he goes on to say in the second half of 17 and into 19, he says, as a result of having strong roots in love, I ask that you'll have the power to grasp love's width and length and height and depth. Together with all the believers, I ask that you'll know the love of Christ that is beyond knowledge, so that you will be filled entirely with the fullness of God. I love what Paul does here. He starts to use the biggest words that he can possibly use. He wants you to understand how wide and how long and how high and how deep the love of God is. He wants you to understand the love, and I love what he says here. He says, the love that is beyond knowledge. When you think about the love of God and you try to grasp how big it is, just know it's bigger than that. And I don't know if you've ever gotten yourself into a brain loop where you try to understand something that is so big you don't understand it, and you're like, all right, it's this big. Okay, no, it's bigger than that. Okay, no, it's bigger than that. No, bigger than that. Bigger than that. Bigger than, like, this is the way that Paul is describing the love of God that he pours out on us. That we would know the love that is beyond all knowledge. This love is not a conditional love. This is a love that sees us, knows us, and loves us as we become the people that he created us to be. And it's this absolutely beautiful, beautiful thing. And see, so often I think that we fall into the belief that just like we experience love from other people, that is this conditional love, we tend to fall into this belief that the love of Jesus is often unconditional. And that's just not true. The love of Jesus is not conditional. It's unconditional. We assume that Jesus' love is high, but maybe not quite that high. It's wide, but maybe not quite that wide. It's deep, but maybe not quite that deep. And Paul is saying, no, it's higher than you could ever imagine and wider than you could ever imagine. and deeper than you could ever imagine. And when you get to that limit where you say, maybe I am beyond God's love, Paul says, God's love goes further. When you get to that moment when you say, maybe this person is beyond God's love, Paul says, God's love goes further. God's love is massive. And he loves us more than we could ever imagine. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you will do. It doesn't matter what your gender is. It doesn't matter what your race is. It doesn't matter what your social status is. It doesn't matter. And that's the beauty of what Paul said at the very beginning. God recognizes and loves us all. And I love the way that Paul finishes this prayer. Because he kind of answers, all right, God loves us. What does that mean for our daily life? And we're going to talk about this a little bit next week. Like, this is going to be the whole focus next week. But I wanted to make sure that I touched on it just a little bit tonight, because this is the way that Paul ends this section. In Ephesians 3, 20 through 21, he says, now glory to God, who is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or imagine by his power at work within us. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You are really loved. And that means something. Do you know what that means? It means you have a purpose. It means that God wants to do big things through you. Glory to God who is able to do far beyond what you could ask or imagine. God wants to do things through you that are beyond the limitations that you have set for yourself. God wants to do things through you that are beyond the limitations that this culture has set for you. God wants to do things for you through you that are beyond what you could ask or imagine. Listen, you know what that means? That means you can go out and do big things for God, whether you are a man or a woman. That means you can go out and you can do big things for God, whether you are popular or unpopular. It means you can go out and you can serve God's purpose, whether you have had a messed up past or not. It means you can go out and you can do big things even as you make mistakes in the future. This is an inclusive thing. It's not an exclusive club. And I love what Paul is doing here, because in this moment, Paul is equaling the playing field. He's saying, listen, God wants to use us. God's love is inclusive, and based on this love and the way that God's love changes us and grows us and shapes us, he is able to do far more than we could ever ask and imagine, far more than this culture thinks that we could ask or imagine. And I am confident that the students in this room are going to go out and do big things. And you guys are going to stretch the boundaries. You're going to stretch the norms. You're going to reach people that we thought were never reachable. You're going to go out and you're going to lead in ways that we thought you would never be able to lead. You're going to do things that we thought you would never be able to do. Because you understand that God really, really loves you. And God really, really loves the people around you. And it's so much bigger, and it's so much wider, and it's so much more inclusive than we have ever considered. It's this beautiful thing where you are really, really loved. And if we can grasp that, if we can know that deep in our souls, if we can live that out of our hearts, we're going to do incredible things. Amazing things for God's kingdom. And so how can we take a step from here? How can we take a step in our faith to say, all right, God, I want to walk in your love. I want to stretch the boundaries. I want to do things for your kingdom. I want to reach people with this absolutely incredible love. I want you guys to really work on experiencing the love of God. And when you experience it, you can move in it and you can see it change you. And so this week, the practical challenge is simply this. I want you to pray every single day this week, and I'll put this up on Facebook and I'll send this out on our text chain as well, but I want you to pray every single day this week. God, today, help me tangibly experience how incredibly loved I am by you. And then watch what God does throughout your day. God, today, help me tangibly experience how incredibly loved I am by you. As we close, I'm just going to pray that prayer over you guys tonight. God, tonight, help everybody in this room tangibly experience how incredibly loved they are by you.